try to act sophisticated. That won't work? Okay. 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 Okay, so here we go. Has anybody heard the expression, out of the box? Have you ever told anybody to get out of the box? Have you ever told anybody, said, think out of the box? And you're really trying to do them a great favor when you ask them to get out of the box. You're giving them an opportunity to go to a level of thinking, a blessing, whatever it is, that they've never been to before. Okay? But that great saying, think out of the box, get out of the box, it originates back to what they call a nine-dot puzzle. Anybody heard of that? Nine-dot puzzle. What's the nine-dot puzzle? A nine-dot puzzle was like a teaching test that management consultants would give employees to teach counterintuitive problem solving. Okay? So you were asked to connect four dots, nine dots that form a square by drawing four straight lines without lifting your pencil. And the conundrum is that if you stay inside of the boundaries of the box, it's impossible to do. Now, here's the other irony. If you stay inside of the box, and the box isn't even drawn yet. But that's what most people do when they observe a problem or a challenge. What most people do is they imagine that there's a boundary around that box. And they can't imagine themselves going beyond the boundaries of that box because they actually, in their mind, think these are laws that are there that I can't go beyond. And the whole point is that you're not going to draw with four lines, connect nine dots, without lifting your pencil. You're not going to draw the perfect square without drawing outside of the line or outside of the box. We do the same thing as Christians. We operate, we believe. And here's another contradiction. We supernaturally believe within our boundaries. Oh, I got great faith. Peter wasn't the only one in the boat that night. But he was the only one that said, I'm getting out of the box. I'm going beyond the boundaries of what laws of nature dictate. Because there's a man walking on the water who controls the laws of nature. His name is Jesus. And he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And he steps out and he literally walked on water. He denied the laws of nature. But we do the same thing just about every day as Christians. Everything's got to be done inside of the box. Problems come, they overwhelm us. Fear comes and beats us down. Our four dimensions of space and time are like nine dots. They're like nine dots. And we act as though these laws are boundaries. We panic when finances creep in on us. We're about to throw in the towel when a sickness hits our home. We act as though these laws are boundaries, but the same God who established the laws is the same God who can break his own laws. Why? Because God is not bound by time or space. He is eternal, which means he is everywhere at once. We are too quick to explain what we don't understand. We're too quick to explain what we don't understand. And guess who's at the top of that list? God. You can know God. But to think you know everything there is to know about God is the epitome of foolishness, ignorance, and hubris. Because to know God is to actually enter into the clouds of the unknown. That's why Paul said, I want to know the height, the length, the width, the depth of this great God, this faith, this grace, this love, this God that I serve here. To know God is to enter in the clouds of the unknown. And guess what's going to happen when you get in those clouds of the unknown? The more you know, the more you know of what you don't know. Your best thought about God on your best day still falls at least 15.5 billion light years short of just how great God really is. 100 years ago, we thought we lived in, or 100 years ago, we thought we lived in a four-dimension world. Albert Einstein threw science a curve and changed that theory. And through general relativity, he said that the space-time continuum is not as linear as we think it is. And then the string theorists come along, and they extrapolated the existence of even more dimensions than what meets the eye. They said there's 10 dimensions of time and space. In the case of the superstring theory, and 26 dimensions of time and space according to the original bosonic string theory. Now, if you have no idea what I'm talking about tonight, then I have proved my point. Because if the universe that we live in is infinitely more unknown and more complex than what we could ever understand, how much more is this great creator? Oh, I want to know him. I want to know him, because the more I know him, the more I don't know him. Are you hearing me tonight? If string theorists are right, if they're right, then the God that you and I worship tonight has at least 11 dimensions of time and space that he can work supernaturally in. And there lies our greatest shortcoming. What is it? Our greatest shortcoming is putting four-dimensional limits on the Almighty. Dr. Hugh Ross says, Orthodox Christians potentially underestimate God's nature. They underestimate his power. They underestimate his capabilities by at least a factor of a trillion in one time dimension. Multiply a trillion by a minimum of 7 additional space-time dimensions, and we begin to understand why Scripture says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that liveth in us. We have a hard job believing God in this dimension. In the now. I don't think we can imagine God moving in another dimension. God spoke to me years ago. He said, here's the power of my presence and worshiping in my presence. These folks from Charlotte heard me say this. He spoke to me, he said, while you're worshiping in here, I'm working out there for you. Oh, you didn't hear that, did you? Half of faith is learning what we don't know. Let me say that again. Half of faith is learning what we don't know. The other half is unlearning what we do know. Right? And the second, unlearning what we do know, is the real difficult one. That's why Jesus, even in his earthly ministry, he'd encounter people and he said repeatedly, "You have heard, but I'm telling you." You see the difference? He was delivering people from Old Testament assumptions. You've heard it this way, but I'm bringing you into the new covenant revelation way. You have heard it's impossible, but I'm telling you, with God, nothing is impossible. Anybody hear me tonight? Planet Earth is spinning around on its axis at a speed of 1,000 miles per hour. Every 24 hours, planet Earth does a celestial 360. Do you know that you and I are hurtling through space right now? And do you know that we are at going how fast velocity we are? How about we're hurtling through space right now at 67,108 miles per hour? And I know I'm not even dizzy. I don't even feel faint. I don't even feel like I'm moving. Oh, isn't he awesome? You see, that's not just faster than the speed of bullet. That's 87 times faster than the speed of sound. So on a day, ladies, if you don't think you're getting enough done, just tell yourself at the end of the day, I might have not got enough done, but I've sure did a lot of traveling today. Because actually, you traveled in one day 1,599,793 miles through space. We're talking about miraculous tonight because the miraculous is going to happen the next few days for us. I'm telling you. So let's think about it this way. Do you know that you don't have to look just through a telescope to see the miraculous? The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. But you don't just have to look through a telescope. How about looking through a microscope? You can see the miraculous in a microscope. Trillions of chemical reactions are taking place in your body every second. You get that? You are inhaling oxygen. You're metabolizing energy. Right now you're managing equilibrium. Your body is manufacturing hormones. You're fighting antigens. You're filtering stimuli. You're mending tissue. You're purifying toxins. You're digesting food. And you're circulating blood right now. While at the same time, your brain right now is performing up to 10 quadrillion calculations per second while it only is using 10 watts of power. That's you. You ain't all that bad, you know. It would take a computer. In fact, a computer would require at least a gigawatt of power produced by a nuclear power plant just to perform what your body's doing right and your brain's doing right now. If your personal genome sequence was written out in longhand, let me say that again. If your personal genome sequence was written out in longhand, it would be a 3 billion word book. If your personal genome sequence was written out longhand, it would be a 3 billion word book. The King James Version Bible has 783,137 words. So your genetic code is equivalent to nearly 4,000 Bibles. You are a bestseller. If your personal genome sequence was an audio book and you read it at a rate of one double helix per second, it still would take you nearly a century to put you into words. What's your point? Psalms 139 and 14. I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. I'm not an accident. I'm not a statistic. He knew me before I was. See, you may be sitting here. You may be your biggest enemy. You may be doing the devil's work on your life. And that's why your life is not progressing and going from glory to glory, because you're so down on yourself. You think everybody's better than you. And you think that you don't deserve to be blessed. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't care how you got in this earth. God planned you to be here. God destined you to be here. He destined you to be the color of your skin, the color of your eyes, the color of your hair. He destined you to be living where you're living. You're not an accident. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and you were predestined by His glory. So away with being your own worst enemy. Well, Lord, I'm here because a man and a woman met at a bar one night and got drunk and overcome by lust, and I'm the result. Oh, I don't care how you got here. You're God's, and you're created in God's image. And God's hand and favor and goodness is upon your life, greater than you can ever, ever dream or imagine it is. Two things that are going to be made very clear this year. And the Lord spoke to me this. And He took me back to Joshua. When Moses died and Joshua was taken over. And Joshua is going to be used by God to do in 3 days what Moses couldn't do in 40 years. And the Lord told him the exact same thing that He told Moses. He said, As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you just like I was then. And He said, there's not going to be anybody that's going to be able to stand against you when you go in this land. Now, there's giants there, but they're not going to be able to fight you. I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to defeat them. And He said this. He said, every place that your foot steps, it's yours. See, I'm claiming that because I'm grafted in. So He just said, Joshua, be strong. Be of good courage. You're going to have victory. So Joshua goes into the land, and he does something. He sends two spies. And he tells them to go and spy out the land. Moses sent 12. 10 of them were duds. So Joshua cut it way down. I'm only sending two. He sent these two guys out. Hey, guess where they ended up? They ended up being hidden and protected and had their life saved at Rahab's house. Right? Rahab was a harlot, but she was mightily used of God that night. And so the soldiers came and knocked on her door and said, "We're looking for two spies, and they're not here." She actually didn't even tell the truth. Go figure. I'm going to ask God about that. God, you said you're a truth, way to life. What about that Rahab chick there that said that? Was that good? So after they left, she goes up in the room. She said, "Okay, you can come out now. It's all clear." And then she is about to give them the greatest discovery of their life. They didn't know it. There's something the enemy knows about you that you don't even know yourself. Did you hear me? There's something the devil knows. Top secret information. I call it game-changing information that he knows that I don't think a lot of Christians know. And she's about to give it to these two spies. Look what Joshua 2 and at verse 9. This is her talking to these two spies after she saved their lives. She said unto the men, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you." She's telling them something she knew that they didn't even know. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage within us because of you. For the Lord your God, he is a God in heaven, and he is a God on earth beneath." Wow. Now what's the point? You don't get it? You don't get it? More than 40 years ago, Canaan was theirs. The promised land was theirs. They didn't have internet. They didn't have Wells Fargo Pony Express. I don't even know how she got that information. But she said, "We heard how the Lord brought you out of Egypt." That's been years and years ago. "We heard how he parted the Red Sea. We heard how he destroyed the enemies." The only thing that shocked her more was, "Why is it taking you so long to get here? Where have you been? We waved the white flag the day you walked out of Egypt. We conceded victory the day you walked out of Egypt. And for 40 years, you've still been wondering whether you're going to win the battle. The battle's been won the day you were saved." Come to the music. I'm done preaching. Didn't take long, did I? Honey, I did what you told me to do. You didn't tell me? Okay. Must have been the Lord. I started out talking about the supernatural tonight. And I wrote down I've seen so many miracles just in our ministry. You know what you've seen in yours and what you've heard in other great ministries. But Pam and I, what we have experienced, that just... And I talked to you tonight, and I talked to you about dimensions of God. String theory. More dimensions of time and space. Paul talked about heavenly places. So what were you trying to do? I was trying to get you out of the box tonight. Because this year, God wants to be big in your life. He wants to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. He wants to absolutely blow your mind. He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. He wants to use you more than you want to be used. I mean, he wants to show you things that you have never seen before, so you can do things you've never done before. Every so often, I'd just be driving down the road, or Pam and I would just be in our home, and we just meditate, and we just think. Because I told my son, or my kids, I said, you may know more than me, but you don't know what I know. Now that's profound. So what do you mean, Dad? I said, because there's some things you will only learn through experience. And I've got a lot of years on you there. See, nobody will ever be able to convince you that God is not alive. Nobody, because why? Because you've experienced God. Nobody will ever tell you that the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues is not real, because you experienced it. See, experience goes so far beyond knowledge, philosophy, wisdom, whatever. Because experience brings an eternal knowledge that was never given to you by flesh and blood.